Érettségi vizsga angol nyelvből. Hallott szövegértése középszint.
Welcome to the listening component of the Matura examination. The listening material and the instructions are recorded on this CD, and the tasks and instructions are printed in your test booklet. There will be three tasks, and every recording will be played twice. The tasks will begin with some music, and then you will hear, and you can also read, the instructions to the task. This will be followed by a silent period on the CD, in order to give you some time to look at the task in your test booklet before hearing the text. Then we will play the recording in one piece. After another short silent period, we will play the recording for the second time, but now in shorter sections and with breaks between the sections in order to give you enough time to write down your answers. You will also have some time to check your work at the end of each task. Please note that the first item in each task, marked with a tick, is always an example. The whole test is about 30 minutes long. Good luck! Task 1. In this section, you will hear an adventure story. Your task is to decide whether the following statements are true, false, or we do not know because the text does not say, and write the appropriate letter on the boxes on the right. Write A if the statement is true, write B if the statement is false, and write C if the text does not say. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now, look at the task in your booklet. Now, listen to the recording.
Hello, everybody. This is 102.2, Radio XYW. I'm Adam Hunt, with the programme that shares adventure holiday stories with you. A couple of days ago, I met Linda and I recorded her story. This is it.
Me and my friend Eva went up to Kebnekaise, the highest mountain in Sweden, in September last year. Our goal was to walk up the highest peak, which is exactly 2,111 metres above sea level. We flew from Stockholm to Kiruna. The flight takes about 1.5 hours. From there we rented a car to Nikkaluokta. We drove till the end of the road. Hiking or skiing from Nikkaluokta to Kebnekaise is 19 kilometres. It's possible to arrange transport by boat or helicopter in summer, and snowmobile or dog sledge in the winter with local transport companies. We decided to take the helicopter, and it was the first time I've been in one, and it was awesome. When we arrived, we were a little surprised to see lots of snow around. In the reception of the lodge, which was a small wooden house, They told us that it's not usually this snowy this time of year. They also told us that we probably wouldn't be able to walk up to the top this week. As we only had a few days, we decided to change our plans and walk to Singi instead, which is about a 14-kilometer hike. Singi is another small wooden house where you can find shelter for the night. It's along a trekking and ski touring route called the King's Trail. So the next morning we started the walk. The first 2 hours in snow, but suddenly the snow disappeared and it was much easier to walk. The sun was shining and it was all very beautiful. When we came to Singi, we were lucky to get the last two beds. We shared a room with an elderly couple from Germany. I was so happy because neither of them snored, but the man's shoes smelt horrible. But I prefer that to snoring. The next day we walked back to Kapnekaiser in sunny weather. In the evening we had a superb meal at the lodge. We were satisfied with our trip, even if we never got to the top. Maybe next time.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Hello everybody, this is 102.2 Radio XYW. I'm Adam Hunt with the programme that shares adventure holiday stories with you. A couple of days ago I met Linda and I recorded her story. This is it.
Me and my friend Eva went up to Kebnekaise, the highest mountain in Sweden, in September last year. Our goal was to walk up the highest peak, which is exactly 2,111 metres above sea level. We flew from Stockholm to Kiruna. The flight takes about 1.5 hours. From there we rented a car to Nikkaluokta. We drove till the end of the road. Hiking or skiing from Nikkaluokta to Kebnekaise is 19 kilometres. It's possible to arrange transport by boat or helicopter in summer, and snowmobile or dog sledge in the winter with local transport companies. We decided to take the helicopter, and it was the first time I've been in one. And it was awesome. When we arrived, we were a little surprised to see lots of snow around. In the reception of the lodge, which was a small wooden house, they told us that it's not usually this snowy this time of year. They also told us that we probably wouldn't be able to walk up to the top this week. As we only had a few days, we decided to change our plans and walk to Singi instead, which is about a 14-kilometer hike. Singi is another small wooden house where you can find shelter for the night. It's along a trekking and ski touring route called the King's Trail. So the next morning we started the walk. The first 2 hours in snow, but suddenly the snow disappeared and it was much easier to walk. The sun was shining and it was all very beautiful. When we came to Singi, we were lucky to get the last two beds. We shared a room with an elderly couple from Germany. I was so happy because neither of them snored, but the man's shoes smelt horrible. But I prefer that to snoring. The next day we walked back to Kebnekaise in sunny weather. In the evening we had a superb meal at the lodge. We were satisfied with our trip, even if we never got to the top. Maybe next time.
This is the end of task one. Task two. In this section, you will hear a report about a very unusual project. Your task is to write the letter of the correct answer in the boxes on the right. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now, look at the task in your booklet. Now, listen to the recording.
TransTime is a company in California whose business is freezing people. It freezes people after they die. Why does TransTime freeze people? Doctors today can cure many diseases, but of course, they cannot cure all diseases. People still get sick and die. The idea is that maybe in the future, doctors will have medicine for all diseases. Some people who believe in this, and are rich enough to afford it, of course, want TransTime to freeze their bodies. They seriously believe that sometime in the future, doctors will be able to cure their diseases, and then they can be revived and live healthily again. In most cases, TransTime freezes people who die of disease, but they also freeze some people who die of old age. The idea here is that maybe someday doctors will have medicine for old age as well. The theory is that TransTime doctors will bring these old people back to life and then give them necessary medicine so that old people can be young again. People often ask the scientists at TransTime, how will TransTime bring dead people back to life? The scientists answer, we're not sure. In 1987, a TransTime scientist froze a healthy dog. The dog's heart stopped beating. The dog was dead. Then, 20 minutes later, the scientists brought the dog back to life. TransTime scientists say, we can freeze a healthy animal and bring it back to life, but, at least at the moment, we can't freeze dead people and bring them back to life. But we seriously think that someday it will be possible. When scientists say someday, they mean years from now, maybe 100 or 200 years. How can TransTime keep people frozen for 200 years? After a person dies, workers at TransTime cool the body with ice and chemicals. When the body is very cold, workers put the body into a capsule. They fill the capsule with liquid nitrogen. Every 2 weeks, workers add more nitrogen. The liquid keeps the bodies frozen. The temperature in the capsule is minus 196 degrees centigrade. TransTime charges $42,000 to freeze a body and $120,000 to keep a body frozen. That's $162,000 altogether. It's an awful lot of money, but some people think that $162,000 is a fair price. It's a fair price for a chance to live again.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
TransTime is a company in California whose business is freezing people. It freezes people after they die. Why does TransTime freeze people? Doctors today can cure many diseases, but of course, they cannot cure all diseases. People still get sick and die. The idea is that maybe in the future, doctors will have medicine for all diseases. Some people who believe in this, and are rich enough to afford it, of course, want TransTime to freeze their bodies. They seriously believe that sometime in the future, doctors will be able to cure their diseases, and then they can be revived and live healthily again. In most cases, TransTime freezes people who die of disease, but they also freeze some people who die of old age. The idea here is that maybe someday, doctors will have medicine for old age as well. The theory is that TransTime doctors will bring these old people back to life and then give them necessary medicine so that old people can be young again. People often ask the scientists at TransTime, how will TransTime bring dead people back to life? The scientists answer, we're not sure. In 1987, a TransTime scientist froze a healthy dog. The dog's heart stopped beating. The dog was dead. Then, 20 minutes later, the scientists brought the dog back to life. TransTime scientists say, we can freeze a healthy animal and bring it back to life, but at least at the moment, we can't freeze dead people and bring them back to life. But we seriously think that someday it will be possible. When scientists say someday, they mean years from now, maybe 100 or 200 years. How can TransTime keep people frozen for 200 years? After a person dies, workers at TransTime cool the body with ice and chemicals. When the body is very cold, workers put the body into a capsule. They fill the capsule with liquid nitrogen. Every 2 weeks, workers add more nitrogen. The liquid keeps the bodies frozen. The temperature in the capsule is -196°C. The temperature in the capsule is -196°C. TransTime charges $42,000 to freeze a body and $120,000 to keep a body frozen. That's $162,000 altogether. It's an awful lot of money, but some people think that $162,000 is a fair price. It's a fair price for a chance to live again.
This is the end of Task 2. Task 3. In this section, you will hear an American man talking about himself and his activities. Your task is to complete the sentences with one word or number in each gap. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now, look at the task in your booklet. Now, listen to the recording.
Hi, my name is Zach Anderson. I'm 35 years old and I'm originally from the United States. Believe it or not, I've lived in Budapest for the last 8 years. My wife, Julie, and I live near Móri Zsigmond Körtér in a small apartment with our two sons, Eli and Jasper. Eli, he's 4 years old, and he is already going to Hungarian kindergarten. Jasper, not yet. He is just 1 year old. You know what? I love living in Hungary. I think that the Hungarian people have a very unique perspective on friendship. In America, for example, I believe most people would say they have 20 or 30 friends. However, in Hungary, I believe that most people might say they have one or two good friends. Now, this is my opinion, but I think this is because in Hungary, people take friendship very seriously. In Hungary, I believe that good friends would do anything for each other. I work with a Hungarian Christian foundation which is called Fiatalok az Élet Küszöbén, or FAKE. It is it's an AIDS and drug awareness program. Many times, for example, I go into Hungarian classrooms to give presentations on many different subjects. Some of the subjects are AIDS awareness, self-image, drug awareness, depression, and even personality. The Hungarian students seem to be very interested in these topics. And the Hungarian students also seem to be interested in our summer English camp, which is called Speak Out. It seems to be a good place for them to practice speaking English, but also to meet American students. Now, of course, even though the FAKE program is Christian, we don't talk about religion in the high schools. In fact, the only time I talk about religion is, well, if a student asks me about my beliefs. And then, of course, I'm happy to explain what I believe about God. Once, I met a student who was addicted to drugs. Because of his drug addiction, he became very lonely, and he began to fail in his school lessons. Then one day, he received an invitation to come to the Friday night FAKE meeting, which is held in a local coffee house in Budapest. He entered the coffee house, and he began to meet the other students. He said he felt very strange while he was there. He explained that he felt strange because he felt happy. And he had not been happy for a long time. He continued to come to the Friday night meetings. One day, he stopped taking drugs. So I asked him, why had he stopped? And he said, I don't need them anymore.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Hi, my name is Zach Anderson. I'm 35 years old, and I'm originally from the United States. Believe it or not, I've lived in Budapest for the last 8 years. My wife, Julie, and I live near Móri Zsigmond Körtér in a small apartment with our two sons, Eli and Jasper. Eli, he's 4 years old, and he is already going to Hungarian kindergarten. Jasper, not yet. He is just 1 year old. You know what? I love living in Hungary. I think that the Hungarian people have a very unique perspective on friendship. In America, for example, I believe most people would say they have 20 or 30 friends. However, in Hungary, I believe that most people might say they have one or two good friends. Now, this is my opinion, but I think this is because in Hungary, people take friendship very seriously. In Hungary, I believe that good friends would do anything for each other. I work with a Hungarian Christian foundation which is called Fiatalok az Élet Küszöbén, or FAKE. It is a, well, it's an AIDS and drug awareness program. Many times, for example, I go into Hungarian classrooms to give presentations on many different subjects. Some of the subjects are AIDS awareness, self-image, drug awareness, depression, and even personality. The Hungarian students seem to be very interested in these topics. And the Hungarian students also seem to be interested in our summer English camp, which is called Speak Out. It seems to be a good place for them to practice speaking English, but also to meet American students. Now, of course, even though the FAKE program is Christian, we don't talk about religion in the high schools. In fact, the only time I talk about religion is, well, if a student asks me about my beliefs. And then, of course, I'm happy to explain what I believe about God. Once, I met a student who was addicted to drugs. Because of his drug addiction, he became very lonely, and he began to fail in his school lessons. Then one day, he received an invitation to come to the Friday night FAKE meeting, which is held in a local coffee house in Budapest. He entered the coffee house, and he began to meet the other students. He said he felt very strange while he was there. He explained that he felt strange because he felt happy. And he had not been happy for a long time. He continued to come to the Friday night meetings. One day, he stopped taking drugs. So I asked him, why had he stopped? And he said, I don't need them anymore.
This is the end of Task 3 and also the end of the listening exam.